This is Dr. What, Dr. Where, Stories of Rural Medicine. It's the podcast exploring what it's like to live, work and train in rural medicine across regional Victoria. And a career in rural medicine can involve moving to different towns and cities to complete parts of your training. And you'll probably do that anyway to take on some valuable experiences throughout your career. And so mastering the art of moving can really help make your overall experience much more enjoyable. Taylor Cameron is a fourth-year medical student at Deakin Medical School in Ballarat and someone who's moved around regional Victoria a few times before. She found building a social life with locals to be a great way to make her new city feel like home.
I suppose I started moving before I started uni. I went to a number of different high schools, but from a university perspective, I grew up in Gippsland, so actually originally from Traralgon and Sale. Did my final years of high school in Traralgon, and then at the time, Federation University had a biomedicine degree, but not a direct pathway into the postgraduate medicine, and essentially not the most competitive position from a person who was advised to want to do medicine, essentially, or how I was advised to go through wanting to do medicine. So I decided to go to Monash to give myself the best opportunity to get both a postgraduate position with them as well as external postgraduate positions. So from there, moved from Traralgon to Clayton, which lived on the university campus for a couple of years and then lived off for a year with a friend, and then applied for postgraduate positions. I was lucky enough to get a space with both Monash based out of Churchill and Deakin in Geelong. Being originally from about 10 minutes out of Churchill, and my partner living in Traralgon at the time, we kind of decided that we wanted to try somewhere a little bit different. There was definitely an avenue where I could have gone back home, which would have made it a little bit easier, but from a career perspective for me, I felt like the challenge of moving and finding a different space would be a little bit better for me in my learning. So I decided to go to Deakin. We moved to Geelong, lived there for 2 years for pre-clinical, and then again we had the choice of what clinical school we wanted to attend for our final years of training. Deakin's clinical schools are based out of, or at the time of my application, was based out of Ballarat, Geelong, Eastern, which is kind of based out of Box Hill, Rural Clinical Alliance, which includes Bacchus Marsh, Colac, Horsham, etc., and Warrnambool. Decision for me was based around the size of the clinical school in terms of how many students in the health service, what their different specialties that they had access to and the size of the service kind of were. And most of my friends stayed in Geelong for a bit of lifestyle as well, but also, you know, family, etc. But I chose to come to Ballarat because the size of the clinical school was halved to Geelong. And I know that personally I learn better from a smaller student group where you get to do maybe a little bit more hands-on things. I'm very much an experiential learner. So I decided to move to Ballarat. And I should mention, when I moved to Geelong and Ballarat, I took my partner, now husband, along with me, and he'd kind of just come along for the ride. So I was lucky in those last couple of years. But medical school, we've been, yeah, living together. And then prior to that, we were doing kind of long distance. But yeah, I've been in Ballarat now for about 18 months, and we'll see where I go from here when I apply for internship in May. So we'll see.
Now that the partnership between Federation and Monash Universities exists, someone from Gippsland wanting to do medicine may not have to move around quite so much. But for you, how did it feel to build in that moving process in order to get the most out of it?
I think everybody has different experiences of it, but to me, the key things would definitely depend on whether or not I was able to bring my partner and my dogs, etc., with me. Moving, when I moved to Clayton, we did the kind of long distance, 2.5 hours away, so not really that long distance, but for 3 years. And if I probably had to continue that through medical school, knowing how challenging last year of medical school was, with Deakin's third year being its most high contact hours and the limited amount of housework and everything else that I managed to do, I think it would have been really hard. The moving aspect is always individually tricky. I mean, I have moved a fair few times. This is about the sixth or seventh place I've lived in the last 6 or 7 years, which is, you know, you start to get used to it. But from a social perspective, I think, especially if it's your first time, and I saw that with a lot of my friends, you kind of, not just at uni, obviously you make uni friends, but you've kind of got to, as an adult, like almost force yourself into those social circles, find it maybe a gym group or a hobby or something like that, because as an adult, it's not like you rock up to high school and you just make your friends and that's that. So I think that's probably the most difficult, but also like logging a house every single time to a new place is tricky. I think everybody that's moved before would know that, but like, as much as I kind of go to you saying, oh, we can try something else now, and medicine takes you everywhere and it's great, but packing up a house and two dogs and, you know, and a family, if you've got a family, like obviously I don't, but if you do, it's stressful, I suppose. Draining is probably the word, and almost just normalized, I think, in our kind of industry. Maybe not in medical school, but definitely among registrars. It was just like, oh, I was here, I was in Eastern 6 months ago, and then I was in Melbourne, and now I'm here in Ballarat, and people do a lot of back and forth travel. And yeah, it's a real common thing. And I think you almost think yourself lucky if you've got to stay in the same place for 2 years like I have, which is weird.
How have you found that getting to know people locally through hobbies and interests?
Yeah, I think every time I've moved, it's gotten better. So for anyone who's doing it for the first time, that's a positive. It will get better every single time you do it and you get more used to it. And I found that I handled the first move to Geelong better than my partner handled it because it was the first time that he's left small, you know, country Victoria. But you get better every time. Definitely moving to Geelong was like peak COVID. And so everyone was in their office. And I know you've probably had a million episodes on COVID, but everyone was sitting in their office and you saw people's shoulder up or their backs black screen, and you kind of it was hard at that time. But one of the things that kind of post COVID I reflected upon, and I think also had a conversation with my friends and my partner about, was even if you thought, oh, I've had a really big week at uni and I'm really tired, like just saying yes to going to just one thing you wouldn't go to, or maybe just a different thing, in terms of there might be a uni event which is just like a communication night with free pizza or something. It's like you may not even really be interested, but just go try and meet people, because otherwise you feel horribly lonely. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people struggle with. When I was not living with my partner and going backwards and forwards, I think the biggest thing that I found was, instead of like loving every day, I mean, I had a great time, but instead of being like, oh, I got to do this today, it's so exciting, you go 3 days till I get to go home, 2 days till I get to go home. And a lot of people do that. And there's a few people who've left Ballarat and gone to move to Melbourne because they were going backwards and forwards to Melbourne so much and that kind of thing. And I think my biggest piece of advice would be not to count down the days, but to actually just take every day as it comes and try and see if you can make the most of it. Because actually immersing myself in Ballarat specifically, I found so many people who align like outside of uni with me as a person, and it's probably one of my favourite places that I've lived, purely because of the social, you found your social circles. You can really make or break your experience and put a grey cloud or a real happiness over that period of time that you're at a particular health service.
Yeah, well, getting involved in those activities is something that'd be great to talk about, because there's a lot of music festivals at the moment, yeah, and you know, various other festivals if you're not into music.
Yeah.
Has that been a way to get to know people, but also perhaps welcome your family and friends from elsewhere?
One of the things that I found really gave me a community when I lived in Geelong was that I became a part of a boxing gym and essentially kind of was with them for a couple of years and found some like-minded friends that I'm still friends with now. So I found kind of a group fitness gym when I first started coming here, which has unfortunately since closed down, but all of us that went regularly are actually still friends, and we have a group that we just attend the gym at the same time and train at the same time, mm-hmm, encourage each other, and then, you know, once a month we'll have a dinner. Last night we went to trivia at Hop Temple. We won the trivia. It was great. But that was kind of the entry point. And so then we've all got kind of all just friends of all different walks of life and ages and all genders and all of those things. And we've brought people in. Like I had a friend moved to Ballarat for uni this year and I said, oh, come along to the gym, and now we're all friends. So it's really nice. And I think if someone invites you somewhere, even if it's just, you know, you attend Ballarat in one of the final years, says, oh, come down to, you know, do trivia here or whatever, that's really useful. I've found little things like the Begonia Festival was really nice. My in-laws came and visited and we took them down to the Begonia Festival, or the Sovereign Hill Winter Wonderland Festival. I suppose it's really funny. We had lots of friends that have younger kids and we says, oh, come down in the winter and we'll take you to Sovereign Hill. And it's really nice to be able to meet kind of in both directions, I suppose. We had our whole family here for Christmas this year, which was awesome. I mean, we crammed both families in the one house, but it was really nice. And it was quite an intermediate. People hadn't seen Ballarat before. And yeah, I think that has helped a lot. When we lived in Geelong, we did the whole said yes to lots of social functions where we were driving 3.5 hours down the freeway probably every weekend, if not every second weekend. And between a medical student's lack of income and just the fact that it takes a long time to get home, that was challenging. But I think something that we have improved upon this year and made our experience at Ballarat feel more like home rather than a temporary posting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that homely factor is really hard to build when you're moving around a lot. Is there anything in particular that's helped build that alongside having, you know, family visit and spend time together?
I think my experience would be largely different if I wasn't lucky enough to have my partner come with me, for starters. I did spend 2 months in Darwin last year in a rotation by myself. He stayed here and I went there, which I suppose I could draw upon as well. I think, yeah, same thing, finding your own routine, finding social circles that you feel like support you. Even little things like knowing that if we went away and we needed someone to feed the dog, we'd know someone to contact. And it makes you feel so much more supported when you know who you would call immediately. Like someone ends up injured or in the hospital and you go, oh, I know I'm going to call this person, you know. Or someone that's going to rock up on your door with food, or, you know, I had a friend pass away last year and I know who I would call immediately to go and look after the dogs. And it makes you feel like you've got that support circle. And I suppose the thing that made the difference is that the support circles didn't exist when I came here, which I think is what a lot of people are used to if you've been in the same place and you're daunted about moving somewhere, particularly like between my first move and home, it was only 1.5 hours. Between now and home, it's about 3.5-4 hours. And it's drivable, but someone can't be there within 10 minutes, you know. And so you have to actively take the opportunity to say yes to things. And even worst case scenario, you hate it and you don't want to go and hang out with them again. That's okay. You end up in the exact same position that you're in. But you have to actively be involved in knowing that we're group creatures. It sounds really horrible, but it feels awful when you're by yourself. And I think even though you're with a group of medical students who often share the same experience, sometimes you might not connect with them on that level, or you don't, outside of a uni class, sit down and talk about how horribly lonely you might feel at any particular time. And so finding the circle of people that make you feel less that way, or almost we call it chosen family in my house, because you know that you can call that family and they'll be there.
Now, alongside that, you have the partner factor, which a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And your partner's moved with you to Ballarat. What's been the experience with them finding work and finding all of the same sort of community and supports that you've had to as well?
I think it was harder for him to find community and supports because it's the first time he's ever done it. He's a plumber, so you can kind of get a job everywhere, which is really, really helpful and useful. But social support-wise, moving from Gippsland as like a sixth-generation family member and, you know, the town oval's named after his great-great-grandfather. So they've been there for years and years and years, and you kind of get to a point where you go to the supermarket and you never actually have to say who you are or define yourself. It's like you're so-and-so's son or daughter or whatever, and you know everyone because that's just how home is. Here, having to redefine yourself and figure out who you are outside of being that identity when nobody knows who your family are, I think was the most difficult part for him, and I think not talked about a lot. And so almost one of those things where it was really unpleasant, and he did go through a bit of a tough time at the start, but working through it definitely made him kind of stronger, I would say. It sounds horrible, but it's almost a force factor. It's kind of like, just you'll feel better, go and do it. And I distinctly remember he got invited to the first Christmas party of the job that he got when he moved to Geelong. He didn't want to go because he didn't know anyone and he felt horrible and he was a little bit, you know, down in the sands about it. And I was like, it was actually me and my mum. We were on the phone like, just go. Like, if you want to come home, I'll pick you up in 10 minutes. Like, just go, you'll be fine. Not a person who's normally shy, so it was really surprising. And it changes people's perceptions of themselves of, oh, I'm not a shy person, I'm really good at making friends. And then you kind of almost feel like almost an identity crisis or a question to self when you're like, oh, I don't actually know how to do this. And that's okay because no one else does unless you force yourself to do it. Everyone's just making it up as they go, you know. So went to this Christmas party, had the best time, and ended up being best man in this guy's wedding. So, like, they're best friends now and are so grateful. And I still remember the amount of times, I reckon like 10 times, he says, thanks for forcing me to go. I had the best time. I was like, I kind of did actually force you to go, but like now it's his best friend and they've been friends for 3.5 years and he was best man in his wedding in August just gone. And, you know, this person was also in our wedding last year. So it's really beneficial. It feels like, it feels horrible. But if you have a positive experience, then it's kind of self-fulfilling and you start to become a little bit more outgoing. And you don't have to rock up to every party and be the center of attention or anything like that, you know. Just find the people that work for you, and if it's only one or two, at least it's a quality person, you know. But I think it's a, you don't know how to do it until you make yourself do it. And it might suck, but you'll get better at it. And I've noticed that I've definitely got better at it over time.
The community factor in regional communities, that's a big difference compared to a larger city like Melbourne, where, like you said, everyone knows each other in smaller towns, but in a larger regional centre, it's a little bit more removed from that.
Yeah.
How much of a factor do you think that sense of community played in terms of getting to know people here in Ballarat and sort of familiarising yourself with this new city that you moved to?
I think I have found that I feel more at home in like these kind of larger centres. Kind of, I prefer Geelong and Ballarat in terms of the size more so than I did when I lived in Clayton. And even to be honest, at home, because it was that little bit more removed. Sometimes you couldn't get away with anything if you were at home. You couldn't go down to the shops in your slippers, you know. But I think the sense of community, it kind of makes you feel welcomed. And it really depends on what that community is and how it's built. But in general, I found that everyone in Ballarat that I've come across is incredibly welcoming and friendly. And that is, by and large, the most common experience from everyone that I've spoken to that have been in this position. Even the local footy clubs and netball clubs, if you're into footy and netball, my husband just got picked up by a footy club literally because someone knew someone and contacted him, and they've just like welcomed him in with open arms and invited me to come down. And it's so nice. And I think it makes you feel like that hard work that I was talking to you about before in terms of forcing yourself to do things, if you have a community that's welcoming and a community that's already very friendly, that hard work is a little bit less hard because they kind of meet you halfway instead of like you have to sit in a quiet room and force yourself to talk to people that maybe seem like they don't want to talk back to you and everyone's just kind of in their own lane. I think while that is always a factor sometimes in life and society today, there's more of a community mindset where like people say hello when you're walking around the lake and people let you in when you're trying to merge into a lane. And it's really silly, but something that I really missed when I wasn't in regional Victoria. It took me forever to merge into a lane, or you'd like walk around and people would bump into you and not even realise, you know. So I think it makes that hardness of introducing oneself or forcing oneself into the community for a sake of like long-term benefit or delayed gratification, I suppose, easier because they meet you halfway. And once you've met one person, then they know someone who they think that you would like, and then you kind of introduce. And I think that's where actually most of my husband's friends in Ballarat have come from, is like, oh, I met this person and, you know, we all go to the gym group together and then we all know people through them. And, you know, all of that I think makes it easier rather than every single time you meet a new person it's like pulling teeth, you know. I think my piece of advice is that it gets easier every time. The first time I moved schools I was like 9, and then I did it again at 12 and 15 and 17, and then again at 18 and 20, and you know, it happens. And it gets easier every single time. It feels horrible the first time, but invest in yourself and know that you can't do it alone. So take the time to, even if it feels really out of your comfort zone, just have a go and you'll most likely thank yourself for it. And I think that the beauty of these larger regional communities is that they encourage people to do the same.
Moving interstate or from a metro city can carry its own unique challenges. Dr. Chandana Wijayawira has just started his intern year in Bairnsdale. Having moved from Sydney, he encountered some unique challenges getting settled in East Gippsland.
So I moved from Sydney. I've been living in Metro Sydney for the last 4 years. So the move towards a rural sort of environment was a little bit intimidating. I've lived rurally before, so I kind of knew what to expect. But then again, so the last 8 years of my life have been in Metro Brisbane and then Metro Sydney. But going into it, I guess I had really good supports. So I had good family around me and friends who were willing to help with the move. That was all very hard. The hardest part of all of it was probably actually finding a place to rent. So, you know, you'd think moving to a rural area that you'd have plenty of options in terms of rentals and things like that, but it's actually few and far between, and because there's so few, I guess, properties on the rental market, there's such a high demand for them, One of the biggest advices I'd give to anyone planning to move rural is to start looking early and get in touch with, the hospital. And sometimes the hospital can actually help you find properties, which I found really helpful. So my clinical coordinator wrote a letter for me saying that I was going to be an intern hired by the health service, et cetera. And that's what really got me over the line in terms of finding a rental property, because coming straight out of medical school, you don't have that income as proof of the ability to rent. Aside from that, I found, I guess, moving to Bairnsdale, everyone's been really friendly. So the neighbors are absolutely lovely. One of the sort of best stories I have so far to date is I didn't actually have a lawnmower in the first few weeks I was here. So one of my neighbors, he noticed that my lawn was getting a bit untidy. He came straight over and, offered to help out. And we had a beer and he helped me mow the lawn and just got to know the neighbors in that way. So everyone's been so lovely. And I think that's one of the things you get in a rural environment that you don't get in that sort of metro setting, just the friendly sort of community.
That must have really helped with the adjustment going from living in a big metro city to a town the size of Bairnsdale.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've sort of thrown myself into the community a little bit. So I've started joining up at the tennis club and cricket team, doing those sorts of activities outside of work. I've really gotten to meet some of the locals, and it's a very small town. So I've actually met a few of the doctors out in the tennis club, and I play with a couple of the senior doctors on Thursdays. And while playing cricket, I met one of the junior medical students who's currently on rotation at Bairnsdale as well. So you meet a lot of colleagues in and around the health service, as well as just the broader community. So it's a really nice sort of environment to get to know people a bit closer than you would in a sort of metro setting.
One of the other things to consider from your perspective has been moving interstate as well. Has that introduced any sort of complications with your training as well as just with your life in general?
Not so much really. It's been quite smooth for me. I knew what I wanted to do quite early on, so I've sort of been set on this path of being a rural generalist for some time now, so I kind of prepared myself quite well for it. My partner also lives in Victoria, so it really helped in that regard. So moving to Victoria from Sydney, it was all made a lot easier by the support of her and her family. So in terms of moving here, it was quite seamless, and integrating within the sort of health service, I think I've actually found it easier than I would have elsewhere, because the team is so supportive, and they've really, they've actually gone out of their way to sit down with me and sort of plan out my career and help me with everything moving forward.
Looking at things with also managing the logistics of having a partner and moving with them, what was that like for you?
So basically, at the end of last year, after I finished medical school, me and my partner, we got married. So we had to plan. It was a lot of planning towards the end of medical school, planning the wedding, et cetera. And then very quickly after that, we got married, went on our honeymoon. And pretty much as soon as I got back from my honeymoon, it was time to move to Victoria. So that's where I come from in terms of when I was referring to the issues with finding a rental property, et cetera. I think I left things a little bit late. So for anyone who's planning to make the move interstate, specifically to a rural area, I'd recommend having at least a month of planning where you're looking for a house, looking for a property, getting furniture organized, those sorts of things. Those sorts of logistics were the hardest parts, particularly around the time I moved, which was, so internship year begins in January. So I was looking for furniture around the end of December after all the Christmas sales, and there was almost no stock. So finding the furniture, getting a house in between Christmas and New Year, everything was in short supply. So that was the main spanner in the works. Luckily, everything worked out, but I wouldn't want to go through that stress again. So I'd start looking a lot earlier if I had to do it again. But all things considered, the move was actually quite okay. And that's largely due to having very strong family supports in the area in terms of my partner's family who were there for me to do that. What we did was we actually got a truck. We got a budget truck. We went around to Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi, and all the shops the night before, bought all the furniture, put it in a budget truck, and we drove it down to Bairnsdale. So a 3.5 hour trip down. So we got all that organized. But yeah, it was quite an ordeal. And I think looking back, I definitely wasn't the best planner in terms of, making an appropriate amount of time to make sure I had everything settled. So yeah, for anyone planning the move, start looking into it a few weeks, at least a month ahead.
You've mentioned you've got into the local tennis club as well. How has engaging in those sort of hobbies played a part in just getting to know people in the community and sort of just, getting to de-stress outside of work as well?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. So, after a long day of work, especially at the moment I'm on GP rotation. So, sitting in a chair for 8 hours in a row essentially. And then with being in the GP setting, every patient you're seeing is, a whole new sort of you have to start the algorithm all over again and make sure you're immersed in conversation and really listening to the patients and being involved in their care. At times it feels like a bit of an escape room. So your mind's a little bit, you know, cluttered when you leave the office. And the best thing for that is actually just to get out on the courts and have a hit with some friends and have a chat to some of the community members. And, you know, it's all really good in terms of making sure the work-life balance is there and you don't feel burnt out.
One of the other things is, you know, outside of moving, were there any other challenges that you faced along the way?
So in terms of the biggest challenges I faced on my move down from a metro setting were finding a rental property. That was absolutely brutal. There's so much competition for it and you really need to have, I'd recommend getting a reference letter for anyone who's planning to move to a rural area from the health service. So that goes a long way with the real estate agents in terms of actually, you know, proving that you're a suitable candidate for a rental property and that, you know, you're not going to damage the place, etc. So that was a big part of getting the rental property. The other thing that I found was in terms of sourcing furniture, it was very difficult to get anything delivered in a regional area. The wait times were 3 to 4 months before you would receive a bed, for example. So I found that the best way to do it was to get it through a metro area and then transport it down yourself. So I was able to do that by hiring the budget truck and essentially loading all the furniture into the budget truck one morning and driving it all down to Bairnsdale. So I think those are the two main challenges I faced moving down in terms of initially setting up. Of course, there's the other aspects of, you know, I'm leaving all my support systems in Sydney when I moved down. So I didn't really have a good sort of social support network when I first moved down here. Fortunately for me, I did have my partner. So it wasn't as bad as it would have been otherwise, but it was definitely a little bit isolating at the start. Bairnsdale, though, is a very, very welcoming environment. And shortly after I moved here, I expressed interest to join the tennis club and a cricket club as well. So both of those settings, they really helped me sort of get involved with the community and make friends. And a few of the friends that I met at the tennis club, we've now started going to the gym together. And in that sort of way, I've made a few connections. And there's not as many new people as you'd expect in a sort of country town. People are always very keen to get to know you. And if you're looking for friends, they're very easy to find, to be honest, as long as you put yourself out there. So initially I expressed interest to just play one day of tennis and now I'm playing 3 days a week. So they're always very keen to get you involved in the community.
You know, is there any advice that you would have for anyone who's in this position and is, you know, about to have to move perhaps interstate or a great distance to continue their training?
I'd say particularly for anyone who's in a metro area who's considering moving rural, I would say absolutely do it. People always think of the logistics and they think it'll be quite a difficult thing to do. But once you plan to do it and just start doing it, the hardest part is over very quickly. So, you know, that week of finding a place to live and getting furniture, etc., it's over before you know it. And then since then, the training experience and living in Bairnsdale has been absolutely wonderful. I don't regret it at all. And I'd do it again in a heartbeat if I had to. The training you get in a rural area is also just, in my experience, just a lot better. You get to do so much more in such a sort of a earlier stage in your career than you would in a metro setting. I guess sort of the initial investment you make moving to a regional area, you get that back tenfold very quickly. I guess the only thing I really want to do is just sort of encourage anyone who's considering moving to a rural area to especially pursue like a career in rural generalism, to really consider it. It's such a wonderful career. I've been privileged to sort of start off training at McLeod Street Medical Center, which is a local GP center at Bairnsdale, and I've done 10 weeks now and I've gotten to do so much. So, you know, from seeing my own patients in the morning to just shadowing some of the GP anesthetists and GP obstetricians to see how they do things in the hospital and seeing the diversity of care they provide.
Thanks for listening. We've covered all kinds of aspects of studying and training in rural medicine, and there's plenty more episodes to listen to in our feed. The Northwest Victoria and Gippsland Regional Training Hubs have commissioned this podcast to help medical students and junior doctors learn more about training and practicing medicine in regional Australia. There are hubs all across the country, so to find out where your nearest regional training hub is, visit the link in the episode show notes or just search regional training hubs. This podcast was brought to you by Monash Rural Health, presented by Patrick Laverick, that's me, and it was made possible by funding from the Rural Health Multidisciplinary Training Program at the Commonwealth Department of Health.